Okay, hey everyone. Happy Sunday again. I was here this morning, so this is Happy Sunday for the second time. we have people starting to arrive now, Cheryl. Now that you're gone, other people are coming. You know, out with the old and with the new, as they say. And we have Jill Messing and Cindy Zucker sitting here now. Adele should probably be arriving during the teaching. She stopped in Denver to spend some time with Earl Purdy today, but she should be on her way. Jasmine's upstairs in an active text conversation with Myron Jones, Deb Gary, Nancy Sullivan, and Stephen. I know his last name, but I can't think of it. Stephen from Seattle. They're all at the Colorado Springs Airport heading this way. So we're getting ready for a week. Another week of study with the scribe. This time we're going to be doing the teachings of Inner Ramana. So I'm really looking forward to it. I have this feeling inside of me that's actually a little different than the other study with the scribes have been, in that the feeling, I guess, is just that this week is a special retreat for me. So I'm looking forward to my retreat, and we'll see how everything goes. But I'm looking forward to it. Right now we're here for Holy Spirit Guides, and as you know, this is the period of time when we're looking at the personal messages that I've received to be helpful to me. And of course, right now specifically, we're in that period of time where we're looking at the messages that were helpful to me and Laurent. Ah! And you know what? I'm going to have to leave the room and come back because I forgot to come in as admin. It'll only take me a second, and then that way I can share a link with you. Okay, I'll be right back. Except I can't see. He took the mic while I was gone. Okay, yeah, now I'm back. So now I can share a link with you. So here we go. There's a link. That's to the message that we're looking at. We're actually halfway through the message. We'll start reading it again from the beginning in case there are people here who weren't here last week. But we did start looking at this, so we won't get a little more detailed at the looking at this message until we get in the middle. It's called The Two I Don't Knows. And it's really an idea of, kind of saying if you're seeking from a sense of lack, you actually reinforce the sense of lack. If you're seeking, still seeking, but from a sense of trust, knowing that everything you need will be given, that's just the most helpful way of seeking. That's the seeking that finds. Remember, in the Bible, Jesus told us to seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. We often hear that you have to stop seeking. In fact, just this morning I taught that. Just this morning I taught to stop seeking. The funny thing is, you know, just like everything on the spiritual path, it's both true and not true. There's a certain type of seeking that needs to stop. And yet there's another type of seeking that needs to continue. And it really comes down to, again, an intuitive feeling of knowing the difference. If I believe I haven't got, right, I haven't got, and I need to find it out there, learn it from out there, have someone teach it to me. That is the seeking that we maybe all begin with, at least most of us, but that is the seeking that at some point needs to come to an end. There's another seeking that has an inherent trust about it, where we really feel that when we pick up a book, it's because I am supposed to be with this book now. Or when I listen to a teaching, it's because I'm supposed to be listening to this teaching now. And there's a feeling of guidance about it. There's a feeling of being guided, being given everything that we need. And although we may still be listening to teachings and still be reading books, that sense of going outside of me isn't there, because it's me, the inner me, that is guiding me to everything that I'm listening to and reading, or any practice that I'm using. So it's really that subtle difference that this message is about, the two I don't knows. So what I'm going to do is say a prayer, and then we will get back into the message by reading, and then we will just continue from there, okay? Do you, either way, if you guys want to read along, I have the book here if you want to read. And there's a light right there by you, too, if you're unable to see.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Holy Spirit, once again, it seems like we are here for the second time today to talk about really the same topic. And so I will repeat the same prayer. And the prayer from this morning was, thank you for what was called unveiling, understanding, clarity. And again, as said this morning, that's really one word, not three. It's one thing, hyphenated. Unveiling, understanding, clarity. It's that, it is following that inner guidance, that inner intuition that brings us to whatever it is we need to be brought to at exactly the right time. It brings us to whatever understanding, whatever teachings, whatever readings, whatever circumstances. It seems to manipulate time and space in order to give us everything we need for our awakening. In spirit, we're here tonight, if we aren't already in tune with this unveiling, understanding, clarity that comes from within, we're here tonight to get a sense of that. And so, I thank you. And if there's anyone here tonight, anyone listening at any time to this teaching who does not know the difference between the inner guidance that's guiding us perfectly in our seeking and then the seeking that is coming from some kind of fear, some kind of lack, please help them to get that clarity tonight. Let that be the unveiling, understanding, clarity that is given. For once this is given, then it's easy to find that everything else is given also. Thank you and amen. All right. Oh, is that your phone? I didn't know what that was. I was like, what's that noise? All right. So the two I don't knows. Again, I'll just be reading the first part, maybe commenting briefly, but we'll get to where we left off last week before I start any real commenting. So Holy Spirit says, let me talk to you about spiritual awakening, for there is great confusion in the world about where to look for the light. Great confusion in the world about where to look for the light. That means that a lot of people who think they're looking for it are looking in the wrong place. Spirit continues, many people who look for the light continue to look and search outside of them. This is a very important message, because many of the ones who look and search outside of them believe they are looking within, and yet their attention is misdirected. At the same time, there is a subtle inner guidance that they are listening to, and it is leading them to use symbols that seem to be outside. So two things going on simultaneously. This is where the terms within and outside become useless. The only true distinguishing factor is the purpose or motive of the underlying seeking. And by the time we finish this message, we shall see that the idea of seeking itself is an error. The Son of God is guided by knowledge, or he is guided by lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is a perception, as it can never be true. But when the Son of God is led by lack of knowledge, he strengthens that perception within him. Again, that's the idea that I have to get what I don't have from somebody else or something else. And if that's guiding my seeking, well, you know, you can tell when this is happening. I mean, I think that it's what can lead us to try every new teacher. Some people call it the flavor of the day. Every new teacher, go to every seminar that we can manage to get ourselves to, read every book on spirituality. You know, it's just an idea that, again, there's something I don't have, and I got to get it from somewhere, something other than me. That's the being guided by lack of knowledge, or the belief in lack of knowledge. It's not true. It's just a perception. It's a misperception. But if we stay with that, that misperception continues. We keep right on that outer seeking, trying to find the answer, trying to find the right teacher or the right idea in a book, the missing link that we don't have. So again, the Son of God is guided by knowledge, or he is guided by lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is a perception, as it can never be true. But when the Son of God is led by lack of knowledge, he strengthens that perception within him. I teach that I don't know is a means to knowing. Lynn says she has no sound. How is it for everyone else? Actually, I just saw the mic flicker on and off. Yep, something's going wrong here. I don't know what to do about that. Okay. Oops, here comes Dove. Okay, let's see, I think. Okay, can you guys hear me now? No. Maybe we'll go to dinner early. Oh, what's that? Okay. Can you hear me now? If you can't, I'll leave the room and come back. Can anybody hear me? Okay. Out and back in again. No, listen to me, I am told me they can't hear me. Regina. Yes. Yes, Dove. He's wonderful. Let me see if I can get back in and see if they can hear me. Okay, actions. Join a chat room as admin. Okay, let's try this again. Are you able to hear me? Yes, okay. So I guess we're not going to dinner early. Well, we thought maybe we were going to dinner early. All right. Okay, so let's see if I can find where I was. Again, the Son of God is guided by knowledge, or he is guided by lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is a perception, as it can never be true. But when the Son of God is led by the misperception, the belief in lack of knowledge, he strengthens that perception within him. Now, Holy Spirit says, I teach that I don't know is a means to knowing. This is true when I don't know is accompanied by an underlying trust that knowledge is in the lead. I don't know, accompanied by trust, by a feeling of peace and restfulness, and with a general feeling of happiness for whatever seems to be now, that is knowledge. In not knowing, there is no lack, there is no seeking or grasping, there is only a trust awareness of a constant state of perfection, even if that perfection is realized only through mastery of trusting the mystery of all things. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and start here. Yep, we have people here to let Jamie out today. They volunteered as soon as they came in. They've heard enough teachings. They want to know where, when you let Jamie out, where do you let her out at? So they were prepared. All right, so there's a fear in us sometimes, right, that something's wrong if I don't know. It's a fear I used to experience. I don't have it now, but I used to experience it. So, if you had asked me some question, some metaphysical question, and I didn't know the answer, there would have been this tightness in my chest. You know, like, it's really like a belief that if I don't know, I'm unworthy. That somehow I'm supposed to know. I have to know in order to be worthy. Well, actually, we aren't supposed to know everything. In fact, somebody I read or listened to this week, it may have been David Carse, said that the universe is actually on a need-to-know basis. I know that what that means because I was in the military and intelligence for 10 years. A need-to-know basis means you're only given the information if you need to do it to perform your role. So, you know, each one of us are like characters in this cosmic play. None of the characters, not one of them, needs to know everything. But we each need to know some things in order to perform our function, in order to do whatever it is we are to do, in order to awaken in whatever way it is that we are to awaken. And so the universe, which is really the director of the play, provides that knowledge to us on a need-to-know basis. And when we realize that, that's when we're no longer afraid of not knowing. We actually, again, like this says, we have this general feeling of peace and restfulness, happiness for whatever seems to be now. And he says that actually is knowledge. I mean, that's pretty an important statement. He's saying that if you have a general feeling of peace and restfulness and happiness for whatever seems to be, you're okay with what you know, with what you don't know, right? He says that is knowledge. That state of being is knowledge. You know, we think of knowledge as, you know, do you know the answer to this metaphysical question? Or do you know how electricity works? Or do you know this math problem? Or whatever. We think of that as knowledge, but he is actually calling this feeling of peace and restfulness, this general feeling of happiness for whatever seems to be now, he's calling that knowledge. And it is knowledge. It's knowledge that if I need to know something, it will come to me. And the universe never deprives me of anything. Ever. So whatever I have now is perfect. Whatever I know now is perfect. Whatever I don't have, I don't need. Whatever I don't know, I don't need. You see, that is knowledge, being able to know that. And so when you're in this state of knowledge, then there's nothing to go out and seek or grasp for, right? Because if you need to know, for example, about the ego death, which is something that I taught about last night, if you need to hear something about the ego death, then somehow that's going to come to you. You'll hear a teaching, or the right book will show up, or you'll have a dream or something. So you don't have to, of your own power, of your own sense of lack, go out there looking for information on it. You can really trust, and that trust is knowledge. Now, that's where we left off last week. So now we're entering into new information. Holy Spirit says, there is also another I don't know that is fed by fear. It is fed by lack and judgment of that lack, which is truly judgment of self. It is this I don't know that leads to seeking. And since this I don't know believes in lack, it believes it is separate from knowledge. This I don't know looks outside itself for something it believes it does not have. This searching or seeking is not helpful because it strengthens the wrong perception that you are that which you are not. This idea of seeking, the idea that I do not know and I must obtain knowledge from outside of me, this search for spiritual truth is an obstacle to finding that exact truth of which you are. So really the people that this message is speaking to is those who do feel like they are lacking in themselves. They do feel like they don't know. They don't have the intuition that will guide them. There is a missing link. And what Spirit is saying is that that is not helpful at all. That way of thinking is not helpful. That way of thinking is the opposite of knowledge. That way of thinking is teaching you very clearly that you are what you are not, and you are reinforcing the idea every time you allow yourself to believe that. And so the question becomes, if I think that way, if I really do, because, you know, our individual perceptions can be completely wrong. Hi, Jamie. But if we believe them, they can seem completely true. And so to have someone say to you, you know, if you feel like there is this missing link, you feel like you don't know, you feel like you are missing some information somewhere, you know, this sense of lack is alive in you, to tell you that that sense of lack isn't helpful and then just stop there may not be helpful. In fact, that alone may reinforce the sense of lack. Okay, so now I believe I lack, and I'm finding out that even that is wrong. You know, so now I'm worse off than I was a second ago. Well, Holy Spirit's not going to do that. So let's see what Holy Spirit has to say for those who have this sense of lack. Holy Spirit says, here is my advice, and this advice will end all seeking. When you follow this advice, you may still use teachers and books and tapes as a part of your learning, as a part of your learning to see and remember again. But even as you continue on your path, and even as you use resources I have provided that seem outside, you will not be lost and you will not be seeking, because you will know that you follow your own way. So he's making a distinction here between seeking, which he's saying comes from a sense of lack, and following that inner intuition which is guiding us. He says, here is my advice. Trust that all knowledge is within you right now. You lack nothing. It is true that you do not know all knowledge at a conscious level. Accept and be okay with that. Accept that knowledge guides more than it is known consciously. Accept that knowledge is a movement, and it moves through you in order to move with you at the perfect time in harmony with total knowledge. What this means is that in each moment you may not seem to understand all there is to see and understand, but in each moment, if you are fully willing, you will see and know that which you need to see and know now. So it seems like what he's really saying is that the idea of seeking, this sense of lack, ultimately really comes from a self-judgment. It comes from a self-judgment that might sound something like, I should know more now, or I should be in a different place than I am now, or I should be further along than I am now, or I should understand what the hell she's talking about better than I do now. And, you know, this belief that I should somehow be different than I am now reinforces the sense of lack in me. And so what he's asking us to do is to trust that what I do understand about what is being said is perfect for me now. Anything that is being said that I do not understand, either I do not need to understand it, or the understanding will come. So I give my willingness to understand if it's helpful to me to understand. But there's no fear, no judgment against myself for not understanding, for not having clarity, for not, quote, being further along than I am. He says, you know, just accept that what is right now is perfect. Just relax. He continues, knowledge, when asked for and trusted, will tell you what book to read. It will direct you to a specific teacher for a time, and it will also guide you away from that book and away from that teacher when the time is right. It's funny because I taught this morning, and you know what? I'm going to teach it again on Wednesday, so it's kind of funny. I'm pretty sure I am. Yeah, because on Wednesday for the NTI Daily reading, I teach NTI Revelation chapter 1, and he says the same thing there. So three times, you know, three teachings in a row, I'm saying this. Knowledge, when asked for and trusted, will tell you what book to read. It will direct you to a specific teacher for a time, and it will also guide you away from that book and away from that teacher when the time is right. And knowledge will use all things that seem to be outside to awaken realization within. Knowledge does not lead to seeking. Knowledge is known now, and it is a guide within the total experience of remembering. Okay, he says knowledge is known now, but let's not forget how he defined knowledge. You know, he defined knowledge as being able to basically relax, be happy with whatever is, trust all things, knowing every moment is perfect. What I have now is what I need now. And if I need something later, then that will come. You know, we're talking specifically about, spiritual understanding or spiritual clarity. That's really what he's talking specifically about in this message. But what he's saying is true beyond that. I remember when, way back on that Disney cruise, when I surrendered and said, I will learn whatever you want me to learn and I will do whatever you want me to do. I really, to be honest, did not have any idea what I had just gotten myself into. I had no idea. And yet at the same time, there was an inkling that I can't quite explain. I think the inkling has to have come from this knowledge somehow. I knew. I went to all of my key family members. I went to my boyfriend, my brother and sister-in-law, my mother and my father. And I told them, although I had no idea what these words meant, you guys just have no idea how ignorant I was when I began this path. Again, I had never even heard of New Age. I had almost no ideas about this spiritual path, almost no ideas. But for some reason, I said to each of my key family members that I had decided to become enlightened in this lifetime. Trust me, I had no idea what those words meant. But I felt like I needed to tell them. And the reason I felt like I needed to tell them is because I knew something had changed. I knew in that prayer when I had surrendered that something had changed, something dramatic, I guess, for lack of better words. And I knew that... as a result of that, everything was going to change, even though nothing had changed yet and I had no idea what was going to change. I knew going forward my life was going to be completely different than it was previously. And I didn't want my family to be afraid when they started seeing whatever dramatic changes were going to start taking place. So I went to my family and I told them that I had decided to become enlightened in this lifetime. And I told them that things were going to change. Again, I didn't have any idea how. But I told them that when things did begin to change, I just wanted them to understand why. I wanted them to have a frame of reference for it. And my mother, the discussion was a little longer with her. I don't remember a lot of details, but I do remember also telling her not to worry. That as long as I needed a house, I would have a house. And if I didn't have a house, that meant I didn't need one. I remember telling her that. So somewhere inherent in me, even though, you know, I knew nothing about what I was getting myself into, somewhere inherent in me, I already had this knowledge that he's talking about. I already had this trust that whatever I needed would be given, and if it wasn't given, I didn't need it. That's what he's calling knowledge. And I remember when I started reading A Course in Miracles, I mean, you know, just like everyone else, I would come across things in A Course in Miracles that I did not understand. And I was not in a course group. I did not at that time have a teacher. It was just me and the book. Well, me and the book and Holy Spirit, although I wasn't aware of it yet. When I would come across something I didn't understand, I would basically ask for understanding. And then I trusted, I literally trusted that if I needed to know what that meant, the understanding would come. And it seems to me that in the beginning, there used to be like this, usually a two-day lag, I don't know why, but a two-day lag from the time of asking for understanding. And then, you know, I'd be in the shower or something and boom, the understanding would come. But I can honestly say that I have never had that sense of lack. I didn't know everything. In fact, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. But somehow, from the very beginning, I knew that whatever I needed would be given, and it always has been. So somehow I had inherent knowledge, intuitive knowledge, the way he's defining knowledge. And like he says, knowledge has led me to the right books, to the right teachers. It's also led me to put books and teachers aside now, to move on beyond them, right? It's been a guide for me, and it continues to be a guide for me. Knowledge is what's telling me that this week is a very special retreat for me. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know what's going to come out of this week. I don't know how this week is going to impact me. I'm not going into this week seeking anything specific. I'm not even going into this week with any special expectations. It's just that I know. There's a knowing here that this is a very important week for me. And I'm grateful for it. Holy Spirit says, seek not outside yourself. This will only strengthen the idea that you are lack and that you are guilty for being the being of lack that you are. This is not true about you, and this misperception can only lead to additional suffering. Put aside all seeking. Trust that you do know now, and you do not need to know all consciously in order to live the knowledge that you are. You only need to know now what you know now. This knowing, even if it is only the knowing to pick up a specific book and read from it, this knowing is perfection. And in trusting it, you are knowing you now. So, you know, again, if all you know is I'm supposed to be reading this book now, that's all you need to know. Cheryl says that's how she felt when she came to visit last week. What, that it was a very special retreat for you? Is that what you mean, Cheryl, the week? And she says she's feeling guided deeper after being here. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that's the end of that particular message. And hopefully if you are someone who has been seeking, if you are someone who is coming from a sense of lack, it's really just a shift in the mind that says, you know what, I'm gonna just stop doing that. I'm gonna stop the shitting on myself, stop the judging, stop the thinking that I should know more, and I'm gonna trust that I'm fine and I'm perfect right where I am, and I'm gonna be led perfectly. And then just wait, you know, for that intuitive feeling, you know, to pick up a book or to come into Pal Talk at a certain time or to listen to a certain teaching or to go on a retreat. You know, Cheryl says she came here. Lynn came here. She's also saying, me too. That was true with my week. She was to come here. You know, I am going to India. I know I'm to go to India. So we do go on retreats. Retreats and pilgrimages happen. But if you set back and wait until you know you are to go, that's different than going everywhere and chasing something that you never get. Okay, that's it. End of message. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to another message. I'm going to give you another link. We're going to go to a message called The Surface is Surfacy. I think Laurent named this one. I may be wrong, but I think he did. You know, we got to pick the names of the messages. Sometimes, to be honest, we even disagreed on what they should be. I think Laurent named this one, The Surface is Surfacy. Yeah, you think he did too? I'm sure I had a totally different name and Laurent didn't like it and changed it, though I don't remember what I called it. Maybe as we go through the message, I will remember, and for fun, we can just look at it. But The Surface is Surfacy. Let me get a drink of water. It says, good morning, my friend. This is me and Laurent speaking to Holy Spirit. I started to say Holy Surface. Holy Surface, yeah. No. Good morning, my friend. What would you share with a mind addicted to fear and judgment? What is the date of this message? I might be wrong, but I think we were in Boston. Do you see the date on yours?
March 23rd, 2008.
Yeah, March 23rd, 2008. I think we were in Boston, and we were getting ready to go to our first conference where we were teaching together. That would have been Camp for Miracles up in New Hampshire. So, yeah, we had quite a week that week. He and I were alone for the first time for a whole week in a nice little apartment that they gave us up there to stay in. You know, we had lived together, you know, several weeks with a break and then several weeks again and then another break when he went back to Paris. And then we met up in Boston and they gave us this nice little apartment to stay in and we were alone for a week. And we'd never had that before because even in my house, you know, Jasmine was around. So this was the first time we were alone and some stuff did come up, you know, in that circumstance. And this is one of the messages that came up that week. So, good morning, my friend. What would you share with a mind addicted to fear and judgment? And here is the answer. Relax into yourself and realize that addiction is only illusion. The undercurrent wave that drives all things is love. Fear and judgment are only surface thoughts covering up the love of all that is. But since the surface is surfacy, like dust on furniture, it takes no effort to look beyond the surface to the undercurrent wave. You can see the dust and the furniture beneath it. You know which has true substance, which is foundational, and which is fleeting and meaningless. Okay, so you know, he's using images that were helpful, you know, images that were helpful to our minds. But the general idea is, you know, there's this thought that many of us get, maybe some of us still have, that to have a still mind means to have no thoughts. And the image that Spirit is using here, and he's not even just talking about benign thoughts, like the thought, oh, it's time to go cook dinner now. He's really talking about, more ferocious thoughts, thoughts of fear and thoughts of judgment, the kinds of thoughts that can cause us pain. He's referring to those thoughts as being like dust on furniture. And of course, the furniture is that which is very solid, that which is lasting. The dust is nothing. He says it's very, very easy, even with dust on furniture. Probably all of us hopefully have had a dusty house at some point, so we can follow this image. It's very, very easy, even if there's a lot of dust on your furniture, to still see the furniture, to still be aware of the furniture. The dust does not have to distract us from the furniture. So what he means here is thoughts do not need to distract from stillness. He's saying that the stillness is present even while the thoughts are present, just like the furniture is present even while the dust is present. And he's saying that we do not need to have a silent mind in order to be aware of the stillness. Just like you don't have to dust your furniture in order to be aware that the furniture is there. Right? He's referring to stillness here as, he's using the word love, which is a common word used for stillness. And he's calling it also an undercurrent wave. An undercurrent wave. It's like it's just always, always present under there. Continuing on with the next paragraph, he says, the key is not to kill the fear and judgment. We are not here to extinguish anything. The key is to look through it to what is really there, what is truly guiding, what is honestly happening now. When you look beneath the surface of your mind, filled with its meaningless chatter, crazy fears, and useless judgments, you find the heart. The heart is strong and solid, and you have uncovered the buried treasure enough to know it and feel it in any moment. It is merely a shift in what you listen to that is required. Shift your ears, your attention, and belief from your surface thinking to your heart knowing. So he's saying that we can do this even while the mind is loud, even while the ego is active. You know, we don't have to somehow kill the thoughts to become aware of the heart. We simply shift into the heart. And in fact, probably many of you know that you can sit in the heart and watch the thoughts in the mind. And that's much, much different than being caught up in the thoughts in the mind. Again, he's using the symbol of dust on furniture. You can look right through the dust and still see the furniture. You can change your attention. Just instead of giving your attention to the judgment thoughts, drop into the heart and be willing to stay into the heart, even as the judgment thoughts continue. He says, surface thinking is louder, but heart knowing is more foundational. Surface thinking comes from not knowing and fear. And here he's talking about the lack type of not knowing, of course. Surface thinking comes from not knowing and fear. Heart knowing is knowing. And so it is solid in trust, even when the knowing seems to be a state of not knowing now. It is the knowing beneath the not knowing. It is the solidity of knowing I am love, and I am driven by love. I do not know why I am doing this now, but I know this action comes from love, because I am love, and love drives me now. Well, I think some of you probably know that I did spend a bit of time with Lisa Carnes this week, not with her personally, but watching her YouTubes. I was actually introduced to her by Laurent. She's Laurent's new girlfriend. And as I'm reading these paragraphs, this reminds me of what I see in her. You know, she seems to have this knowledge, this knowing. You know, she doesn't necessarily know why she's saying what she's saying now, why she's reaching over here and grabbing that. But she trusts every bit of it, and there's nothing in her mind that judges any of it. She talked a lot in the YouTubes that I watched about how everything just arises out of nothing and goes back to nothing. And I don't know Lisa well. You know, maybe when Laurent comes sometime, you guys could ask him about her. I don't know Lisa, but I get the feeling from watching her that she doesn't even need to know, you know, how the thoughts come or why the thoughts come. She just knows that what's given to her now is what's given to her now, and that's enough for her. I think we often refer to that as being in the moment or being present. So she's solid in heart knowing. Oh, Dove is asking, is Laurent in Australia? Not right this moment. Right now he's in, I think it's called New Caledonia. But he, after his stay there, he will be returning to Australia. Aha. Yeah, he's a world traveler, that Laurent. Who can keep up with him? Yeah, I do a pretty good job, actually. I typically know where he is, but not always. But he will be going back to Australia to see Lisa before he returns to France. In fact, he's going to be teaching for me a little bit while I'm in India. I don't know if he'll be in Australia then or France then, though. He might be waiting until he gets back to France. But back to the topic. Lisa. She's only the topic now because I think she's a magnificent example. And I've shared her with a few people. And I feel like everyone I've shared her with agrees with me. So she seems to be a strong enough example that those who care to take the time to go and look will see what I'm talking about. You know, it's kind of like a teacher may hold up a something in the classroom. What's it called? A visual, right? A visual. A visual aid. That's the word I was looking for. Lisa's a visual aid. That's what she is. She's a visual aid to what this paragraph is talking about. Right? She's solid in that heart knowing. You know, even if her heart knowing is not knowing, she's still there. She knows she is driven by love. She does not know everything about why she's saying what she's saying or why she's doing what she's doing, but she doesn't need to know that because she knows she is driven by love. She knows that only love moves her. And so she can be like Jesus called, be like a little child, right? She doesn't need all of this understanding, intellectual understanding. She doesn't have to have answers to all of the questions. You know, it's funny if we look at this paragraph, because it does say that surface thinking is louder, and that's true. But it also says surface thinking comes from not knowing and fear. You know, look at yourself next time your mind is loud with anything and test this. You know, whatever your mind is going crazy about, isn't it somehow saying in the craziness that you don't know what's going to happen here, or you don't know what so-and-so is thinking, or there's something here basically that you're not in control of. And the mind is looking at it from 1,000 different directions, maybe, depending on the kind of mind you have, trying to figure out how you can get that back in control, so where you know everything that's going on and everything about it, and you know you're going to be safe. You know how it's going to turn out for you. You know how it's going to turn out for your family members, you know, back in that knowledge, which is actually just ego knowledge, has nothing to do with the moment. It can see into the past and it can see into the future and it understands everything. Ego says, you don't have that. Something's wrong. You know, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in your child's future. You need to worry. You don't know. You don't know where, you know, where your significant other is right now, and you need to worry. You don't, you know, it's always telling you that there's something wrong and you're not knowing. And what Spirit is telling us here is actually, you know, whatever you need to know right now, the only thing that's missing is your trust of all things. Your trust that everything that you do comes from love. Your trust that everything is love. Your trust that everything is unfolding perfectly. That's the only thing that is missing. And you know what? You don't have to learn that. You just have to choose to accept that. So, next paragraph. Surface thinking will interpret that same action as coming from fear. But you can easily dive below the surface and find your current action always comes from love, because love is what you are. And I said, tell me how to do this, please. I was so polite that day. Holy Spirit says, the first step is to step away from thinking. As you pointed out yesterday, maybe he's referring to a conversation Laurent and I had, as you pointed out yesterday, the thinking mind is learning right ideas, and it will use them in fear to hide from its own judgments. This is all surface and being caught up in the surface, so that the reality of the foundation is dreamed of but not known. We do not want to bring reality into the dream as an idea. We want to set in it as a known, even as we experience the dream. So it's funny, I don't have a specific idea right now because I know this is so common. But no specific examples are coming, and that must be perfect, right? But he's talking about something that I think we've probably all done, where we learn something intellectually in the course or NTI or wherever the heck we learn it intellectually. And then we act as if we know it. Oh, I got a specific example. One was just given. And we apply it inappropriately. One example is the idea of projection. It's probably very, very common. We learn the idea of projection from A Course in Miracles. And then somewhere, sometime, we say to somebody, you are projecting on me. It's a total misuse of the learning, because it's only at the intellectual level. It has nothing to do with the heart. It has nothing to do with seeing what the teaching is really about. He says it's not near as important to have intellectual knowledge as it is to know how to find and sit in your heart. In fact, if you asked Spirit, Spirit, would you like it better if I really knew A Course in Miracles? I could quote nearly anything, find the page in an instant. Or would you like it better if I really couldn't quote it at all, but somehow I knew how to just sit back in trust of everything? And Spirit would pick B. We all know that he would. I would prefer for you to set back in trust of everything and not know anything. So what Spirit is referring to here specifically is this error of having intellectual knowledge and not having yet found that heart posture of trusting all things. And then throwing our intellectual knowledge around, thinking we're all spiritual, maybe more advanced than others, and just and it just has no reality to it at all. It's all just made up dream stuff. He says the foundation is dreamed of but not known. He says, so the first way is to step away from thinking. This is done through remembering. You remember that you truly want to know the known now. You want to feel it, not think it. You want to know it beyond the words that come and go through the thinking mind. An idea that will help you to settle into knowing is the idea that you want to settle into the truth of yourself. Put no thinking to this idea. Put no thinking into what the truth of yourself might be. Just know it is what you want and it will be done. You will feel it. You will touch it. You will know it. And when you feel that certainty of the love that you are, you will know also that thinking of that truth is not the same as knowing that truth. This is why you want to move beyond thinking to knowing as an experience, because thinking is not a substitute for the absolute that is knowing. So he's saying again here, he's saying, forget everything that you think you've learned. You know, forget all of that course stuff or, you know, anything else that you may have learned. Advaita is so wonderful, and yet it gets just as misused as the course. I don't think I know of two. Maybe everything does. I guess Christianity does and Buddhism does, but the two that I guess crack me up the most are the course and Advaita. How they're meant to awaken us to the love that we are, and they are used as a form of attack and a form of proof that I know more than you and I'm better than you. So it's funny. But that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that tendency. And he's saying, forget everything that you think you know. And just learn to sit back and relax in yourself. Right there, just as you perceive yourself right now, learn to relax in that. Learn to get comfortable in you. You know, the ego, that spiritual ego may start right in, but this is the false me. I should not be comfortable in the false me. That's the kind of stuff he wants you to throw away. If you will just get comfortable in you, spirit can lead you from there. So just get comfortable in you. Just relax in you. You know, every single one of us is love. And you know what else? Every single one of us, when we relax enough, we know that about ourselves. Is Jamie snoring? Jamie's relaxed into herself. And he's really saying here that relaxing into yourself is more important than accumulating all of the written spiritual knowledge that's out there. He says, knowing becomes better known as you simply want to know more. You do this by wanting without thinking and by knowing that the thinking you see is not knowing. So you gently and easily shift your listening from what thinking says to what knowing knows. You know, when I first started hearing Holy Spirit, what Holy Spirit said to me the most was simply this: relax. I heard that over and over and over again. Relax. It's like Spirit wanted me in that position first. You know, Spirit didn't say, oh, you need to study harder, understand projection better. Oh, you need to study harder, get these metaphysics better. Spirit said, relax, relax. Spirit wanted to move me into that relaxed position from which I could be led. Relax. And that's really what Spirit's saying here. You know, we started this message by asking, what would you share with a mind addicted to fear and judgment? And this is a very, very long... Well, look at the first three words. Relax into yourself. Relax, Spirit said, relax. You know, when we're saying our mind is addicted to fear and judgment, what we're really saying here is there's something really, really, really wrong with me. I need to be fixed. And guess what? From that wound up state, I'm so wound up I can't allow Spirit's guidance. I can't allow help. So the first thing Spirit says is relax. Just relax. I'm not asking you to do anything else. Relax into yourself. Find relaxation in you, even though you still have judgments of yourself. Guess what? There's judgments of yourself, and there's still relaxation within you that's present too. Remember, the judgments of yourself are the dust. The relaxation within yourself is the furniture. All right, that's it. We're out of time. I guess it's time to go to dinner. Bye-bye.